Now, food security is a topic that has been discussed for generations, with many scientists and organisations around the world trying to come up with solutions. New research from the Swinburne University of Technology involves looking at grains of rice under a football field-sized synchrotron light facility to try and understand the nutritional value. To tell us more about the research, we're joined by lead researcher Dr. Vito Buttardo. Thank you for joining me on The Record this morning.
Hi, Fiona. A very good morning to everyone in Perth.
So where did the idea come from to look at rice using the synchrotron facility?
It's never been done before, and in Swinburne, our expertise is surface chemistry. So we basically look at surfaces and determine their chemistry. So we thought, why not apply it to rice?
So could you just explain to us what the synchrotron light facility, otherwise known as the Canadian Light Source, is?
So the Canadian Light Source is a huge particle accelerator. We have the Australian Synchrotron Facility in Melbourne as well, but perhaps the most famous one would be the Large Hadron Collider in or near Geneva. So, but in a nutshell, the synchrotron works by accelerating particles such as electrons in an electromagnetic field to force them to travel in a circular orbit and to produce brilliant, highly focused light. The intense electron beam produced is more than a million times brighter than the sun, and it travels just under the speed of light. We can use these electron beams to study physical and chemical properties of materials, from fossils to rocks to paintings to human tissues. We can use the synchrotron facility to improve human health, such as treating cancer, improve environmental sustainability, help our crops withstand climate change, develop new materials and technologies, and solve industrial problems. In our case, we use it to study cereal grains to determine their health and safety profiles.
So tell us a little bit more about the process of examining the grains with this slide. How do you put it in like a box for the light to hit? How does it all work?
One thing that's very interesting is when we do cereal chemistry analysis, we typically grind them. When we grind them, we typically lose the information. But in our case, what we do is just basically expose them to the intense beam of light, and we get basically photos that we can analyze.
So what is it that you're looking for in these photos?
So typically what we look for would be nutrients, such as, say, for example, micronutrients such as iron and zinc. It can also be vitamins. It can also be basically many organic and inorganic compounds.
And so how are you able to see this through a photo? Does the colors change to indicate the zinc or other parts of it?
Yeah, that's a very good question. So we process the data in a supercomputer. And what happens is we can actually change the color so that it will pop out. So when that happens, then we'll be able to visualize, say, for example, where is zinc In that particular rice grain.
So what have you learned so far from your research?
So far, we're learning that the most nutritious component of rice is basically its skin, or we call it the bran layer. Unfortunately, we tend to polish off the bran layer so the rice will not spoil, so we can chew and digest them easily. But the process of milling rice leaves us with white grains that are mostly starch, which is very digestible. And we don't want it to be very digestible because it can spike up our blood glucose level. So our research is looking at ways to characterize the nutritious layer of rice. We also hope to find nutritious rice plants that are still nutritious, even if you mill them. And lastly, we're also discovering that we can contribute to food security by sustaining yield, even if rice farms are exposed to abiotic stresses such as salinity, limited water conditions, and drought.
You're listening to On the Record, and I'm joined by Dr. Vito Buttardo from Swinburne University of Technology, and we're discussing how understanding rice grains could help create better food security and safety. Now, you mentioned some of the nutrients are in the outer sort of layers of the rice. Is there any impact of washing your rice before you eat? Does it take away any of those nutrients?
So when we wash away, say, for example, milled rice or the white rice, we basically get rid of the starch, so that's fine. And if there's some contaminants there, that's also good. And typically in Asian culture, we wash it like 3 times before we cook them, so that's fine. But what is good about whole grain rice, those rice that has intact skin, if you will, or bran layer, is you can still wash them, but the nutrients will still be there because there's a lipid layer that protects them and keeps them inside.
Now, the research will have applications across the underfed and overfed rice-consuming communities. Could you tell us a bit more about these applications?
Yeah, one thing that's really interesting is we typically view hungry as, you know, somebody who is really very thin. But really, there are 2 types of hungry, the underfed and the overfed. So we typically assume that hunger only applies to the underfed in, say, for example, third world countries, because they're very obvious. Underfed individuals lack nutrients such as vitamins, minerals, and calories to sustain healthy living. But the overfed in developed countries like Australia, they can also be ironically hungry because they may overfeed on, say, buckets of calories, but they're not getting enough nutrients. The malnutrition in overfed individuals can happen because of poor dietary choices. They simply choose to eat high-calorie diet that may lack essential nutrients in their body. This can be aggravated by lack of physical activity such as exercise. When overfed individuals become overweight or obese, they produce heaps of fat cells that deplete other cells of essential nutrients from the food they eat. So therefore, ironically, even overfed can also be hungry for of essential nutrients.
It's really quite interesting because when we when we speak of food safety and food security, we more so think of countries who unfortunately do not have enough food and the underfed. We don't really think of the overfed communities.
Exactly. And that's basically my role, is to open up a dialogue where we look at malnutrition at two spectrum. At left side of the spectrum would be the underfed, but overfed communities can also be malnourished, unfortunately.
So how do you hope your research will help to produce more nutritious rice?
So, well, we can inform the community, just like what I'm doing right now. We can also inform policy, and hopefully I'd be one of the advocates in consuming more healthy grains, such as whole grain rice and other whole grain cereals. And of course, we can also help the farmers to inform them that there are other more healthy cereal grains that can be planted. And typically, these are the colored grains. There are some, you know, colored rice that are red, they're purple, they're black, and they're healthier, actually.
So then could you use the process of the synchrotron light facility for these other grains as well to find out their nutritional value too?
Yes, because rice is a model crop, we can apply what we do in rice to other major Australian cereals such as wheat and barley.
And we hope that this research will continue on to help create food security. Could you just tell us a little bit more about how this research could relate to food security?
So food, again, going back to what I was mentioning a while ago in terms of food security, is we secure food for the underfed, but we also secure food for the overfed. For the underfed, it's really more of providing enough calories, giving them enough nutrients. For the overfed, providing them with more dietary choices so that when they tend to choose high-calorie diet, then they can be informed that they have a choice of selecting food that can be potentially more nutritious. So basically, it can cater to both spectrum of malnutrition.
It's really fascinating how from just simple research, well, it's not simple, there's a lot of technical aspects involved, but from research looking into understanding the nutritional value of rice, it has such potential implications to food security and food safety.
Yep, not only for Australia, but all over the world, basically.
So why is it important that we look and talk about food safety as well as food security?
Because of our fast-paced life, we typically tend to prefer food that's readily available. That's one other issue that I'd like to stress. And another thing is when we tend to eat all of this fast food, easily digestible food, it leads to diet-related non-communicable diseases, such as, aside from obesity and overweight, there's also diabetes.
Well, we're talking all about your research this morning and its potential applications across the world. But just to end off, what's the next step for this research?
We'd like to publish our finding, of course, and we'd like to inform the community that healthy choices are available, especially whole grain cereals that are either colored or non-colored. And hopefully we can also inform all the stakeholders, which is basically the farmers, the manufacturers, the millers, and the consumers, so that we can have healthy choices to make our community more healthy, basically.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on the record this morning and telling us more about your research into understanding rice nutritional value.
Thanks a lot, Fiona, for having me. It's a great pleasure.
You're most welcome. That was Dr. Vito Buttardo from Swinburne University of Technology sharing with us his research on rice grains and how using the synchrotron light facility can help us create better food security and safety once we understand rice grains.